Balkanization and apartheid witch hunts. Bill Clinton was the President of the United States from 1993 to 2001. Monica Lewinsky, a graduate of Lewis and Clark College, was hired in 1995 to work as an intern at the White House during Clinton's first term. Lewinsky began a sexual affair with him. She confided the details of the relationship to an acquaintance and Defense Department co-worker who secretly recorded their conversations. The news, reported by Matt Drudge, of this extramarital affair and the ensuing inquiry finally led to the impeachment of Bill Clinton in 1998 by the U.S. House of Representatives and his acquittal soon after on all impeachment charges in a 21-day Senate trial. Paula Jones had made a sexual harassment complaint against Bill Clinton while he was president. Lewinsky talked about her personal relationship with Clinton to a co-worker named Linda Tripp, who tape recorded their telephone conversations on the sly. Tripp convinced Monica Lewinsky to hold on to the gifts that President Bill Clinton had given her, and not to dry clean what would afterward be identified as the infamous blue dress. When Tripp discovered in January 1998 that Lewinsky had sworn an affidavit in the Paula Jones case denying a relationship with Clinton, she delivered the tapes to Kenneth Starr, the independent counsel who was investigating Clinton on other matters, including the Whitewater scandal, the White House FBI files controversy, and the White House travel office controversy. Wikipedia.org. In 1992, actress Jennifer Flowers said she had a relationship with Clinton that began in 1980. Flowers denied that she had an affair with Clinton at first, but later changed her story. Clinton admitted that he had a sexual encounter with Flowers. The impeachment scandal more or less affected the 2000 U.S. presidential election. Democratic Party candidate and sitting Vice President Al Gore claimed that Clinton's scandal had been a drag that disheartened the loyalty of his party's base, successfully putting off Democratic votes. During the scandal, supporters of President Clinton alleged that the matter was private and about sex, and they claimed hypocrisy by at least some of those who advocated for his removal. For example, during the House investigation, it was revealed that Henry Hyde, Republican chair of the House Judiciary Committee and lead House manager, also had an affair while in office as a state legislator. Hyde, aged 70 during the Lewinsky hearings, dismissed it as a youthful indiscretion when he was 41. Wikipedia.org. The Lewinsky affair was regarded by some as a product of the sexual revolution, a social outlook that challenged traditional codes of behavior related to erotic and interpersonal relationships. The trend took place throughout the Western world from the 1960s into the 1970s and promoted the loss of inhibitions regarding an individual's sexual orientation. Despite the consequences, Monica Lewinsky all but brushed aside the feminist movement in the June 2014 issue of Vanity Fair. "I still have deep respect for feminism and am thankful for the great strides the movement has made in advancing women's rights over the past few decades. But, given my experience of being passed around like gender politics cocktail food, I don't identify myself as a feminist, capital F." The movement's leaders failed in articulating a position that was not essentially anti-woman during the witch hunt of 1998. The Vanity Fair story also included Lewinsky's reaction to the report that the former First Lady Hillary Clinton had described her as a narcissistic looney tune. "Yes, I get it," Lewinsky writes of the comment. Hillary Clinton wanted it on record that she was lashing out at her husband's mistress. She may have faulted her husband for being inappropriate, but I find her impulse to blame the woman not only me, but herself troubling. Molly Riley, Monica Lewinsky explains how the feminist movement failed her, The Huffington Post, May 7, 2014. "My first reaction is that she's right. I don't recall many, if any, well-known feminists coming to Monica Lewinsky's defense at the time her affair with President Clinton came to light," feminist Anna Holmes wrote, according to Nia Malika Henderson of The Washington Post. In a 2014 speech, Monica Lewinsky said she was the first victim of cyberbullying. "Psychologists today are concerned that online pornography is encouraging sexual predators. As sex offenders use the internet to seek underage victims to exploit, it is important to educate youth about criminal behavior and child pornography. We have integrated violent subordination into our daily lives, we have confused sexual domination with sexual intimacy, we have lost the erotic to the pornographic, we no longer see violation as violence, and for all of that our sexual liberation is even more suppressed than decades gone by. Laura McNally, we have confused sexual liberation with sexual violation, Mind Over Matter, April 30, 2014. Naomi Wolf, a spokeswoman of the feminist movement, recently said, "It's not that I'm passing moral judgment, but it worries me as a human being that porn makes us so desensitized to sex itself, which is supposed to be this revolutionary, transformational power that we need to ramp it up with aggression. My objection is not to pictures of naked women. What has happened to Generation Y and teenagers is that everybody grows up already addicted to online porn. What worries me is that porn doesn't liberate sex, it closes it down." Molly Oswalks, 12 Feminists on the Best and Worst of Sexual Liberation in America. Playboy, January 13, 2014. Author Henry Mockow, inventor of the board game Scruples, was concerned that the mass media encourages us to obsess on sex and postpone marriage and family indefinitely. Young female authors counsel girls to bring protection on a date, just in case. The blithe notion that a girl might jump into bed with a stranger on a first date shows how far females have been hoodwinked by sexual liberation. Henry Mockow, PhD, Sexual Liberation is Anti-Woman, September 14, 2003. It is easy to set aside Mockow as an impractical moral Puritan. Yet if we don't know the market forces behind safe sex products, we are badly informed. In retailing, products are called merchandise. Big Pharma, pharmaceutical industry, is profiteering and branding protected sex products by associating them with positive emotions. The corporations that sell safe sex merchandise today are the same, IG Farben derived, companies that once marketed unsafe drugs, the moral equivalent of the tobacco industry. To milk the cash flow from safe sex merchandise, Big Pharma routinely pays experts to promote its products. The familiar media tip that we need sex every day is one of its major selling points. But nature doesn't work that way at all. Humans, both male and female individuals, have biological clocks, or cycles, that determine sexual passion. The female menstrual cycle is well known today. Generally, a woman's period normally is every 28 days. Men have cycles as well, or spontaneous ejaculations during sleep, nocturnal emissions. Most men today are not familiar with the pace of their natural orgasm periods, perhaps partly for the reason that they have been changed into regular masturbators by tight-fisted business models of everyday sex merchandise. Donald Trump said Big Pharma is getting away with murder. The lobby is targeting kids, as seen in the subliminal erotic metaphors of children's cartoons, see pages 252-3. It is important to discern that it is all driven by revenue, not a real aspiration to enhance the consumer sexual pleasure. Big Pharma's support of gay rights, for example, is merely within the framework of its merchandise sales. Step out of the realm of protected sex products, and Big Pharma and its idols will be the first to accuse you. Which is to say that homosexual activity in past decades, before the arrival of safe sex products, is entirely faded. So much for Pride Media sponsorship. The sympathy and understanding is publicly anecdotal, to make soaring returns and profits year after year. Lesbian activists protested in London against transgenders that are biological males who claim to direct the feminist movement. The disturbing bottom line is this: big pharmaceutical corporations today are able to control the sexual behavior of millions of persons in the most peculiar way, involving class eugenics and gender reassignment surgery. At issue is the dumbing down of modern society, a pilfering of human creativity by relentless and intrusive marketing practices. 'Cause I'm a model, you know what I mean. And I do my little turn on the catwalk. Yeah, on the catwalk, yeah, on the catwalk, yeah. I shake my little tush on the catwalk. I'm too sexy for my cat, too sexy for my cat. poor pussycat. I'm too sexy for my love, too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave me. And I'm too sexy for this song. Right, said Fred, I'm too sexy, 1991. Since the Church of Satan was accepted as a religious organization in 1966, sex dungeon nightclubs have also proliferated in urban communities. The Lucifer and Lilith erotica described by George Sylvester Viereck, My First 2000 Years, and John Fowles, The Magus, encourage sexual gratification from causing or feeling pain and humiliation, sadomasochism. They are classic examples of satanic rituals. What's evident in these rites is that Lucifer and Lilith never actually mate, since Lucifer is always stricken with impotence in the presence of Lilith. She therefore resorts to sex with a well-built slave, traditionally a black Namibian representing Adam, and tries to achieve reproduction by way of a homunculus or human constructed by alchemy. The wear and tear of chains, whips, and serpent belts that magically change a human into werewolf may transmit bloodborne parasites that discharge powerful mind-controlling chemicals. The word dungeon presumably goes back to a Germanic word related to the word dung. This Germanic expression meant an underground storage house of dung. An abode of torture has the condition of being unclean and disagreeable, see pages 205-7. Wag the Dog was a 1997 spoof film with Robert De Niro and Dustin Hoffman. In a joking tone, attorney F. Lee Bailey made televised remarks about politicians consuming Viagra. Since becoming available in the 1990s, Viagra, sildenafil, has become the prime treatment for erectile dysfunction. First Lady Hillary Clinton was less teasing. In a 1998 TV interview, Hillary railed against a vast right-wing conspiracy out to ruin Bill. As it turns out, both the Clintons and their detractors were right. Yes, the president had conducted an affair with Lewinsky. And yes, there existed a ring of powerful people intent upon the Clintons' political ruin. Brandy Tsadrozny, Hillary was right, your interactive guide to the vast right-wing conspiracy, The Daily Beast, May 22, 2014. After the fall of communism, a ring of powerful people decided that Yugoslavia was no longer of any strategic importance. The assassination of the Austrian Archduke Ferdinand by a Bosnian Serb nationalist in 1914 had sparked World War I. Yugoslavia remained a trouble spot. Serbian President Slobodan Milosevic's desire to uphold the unity of Serbs, a status threatened by republics breaking away from the Federation, plus his opposition to the Albanian authorities in Kosovo, further inflamed tensions. The Reagan administration specifically targeted the Yugoslav economy in a secret-sensitive 1984 National Security Decision Directive NSDD 133. U.S. policy towards Yugoslavia. A censored version declassified in 1990 elaborated on NSDD 54 on Eastern Europe, issued in 1982. The latter advocated expanded efforts to promote a quiet revolution to overthrow communist governments and parties. Wikipedia.org. Remarkably, you can't find out much about the Bosnian uprising in American newspapers. A brief article about Bosnia was hidden somewhere in the world section of a yesterday's New York Times. If one compares the news coverage afforded to Ukraine, the lack of attention might seem surprising. However, the silence makes a good deal of sense in the wake of Hillary Clinton's electoral campaign. Bosnia was supposed to be a Clintonian success story. Since the end of the Yugoslav wars, Bosnia has been transformed into a protectorate laboratory in which the international community observes how to transform failed states from Kosovo to Iraq into stable and obedient ones. Its constitution was a result of a humanitarian intervention of the Clinton administration, which supervised the so-called Dayton Agreement of 1995. This bizarre constitutional arrangement, with two autonomous regions, 10 cantons, one separate city, and as many as 150 ministries, was built in order to keep those who actually live in Bosnia as far away as possible from the political process. According to the diagnoses of various European experts and colonial representatives, The people of Bosnia lack the requisite political capacity necessary to decide on their own constitution. Without careful supervision, people who live in Europe's backyard tend to become ungovernable. The case of Bosnia illuminates a more general Western attitude towards the Balkan Peninsula. Andrej Grubasic, The Balkanization of Bosnia, Zenit, February 16, 2014. On March 11, 2006, former Serbian leader Slobodan Milosevic was found dead in his prison cell near The Hague. An autopsy disclosed that Milosevic died of a heart attack. As reported by PBS NewsHour, it also revealed that he had been taking medicine not prescribed by his physicians, including an antibiotic known to diminish the effect of the medicines he had been taking for heart and blood pressure problems. Milosevic had been on trial since February 2002, defending himself against 66 counts including genocide in Croatia, Bosnia, and Kosovo. He also faced allegations concerning the 1999 war in Kosovo, which prompted NATO to launch a bombing campaign against Serbia. Milosevic dies in his prison cell, Associated Press, March 11, 2006. In March 2007, days before the first anniversary of Milosevic's burial in his hometown of Pozarevac, Serbian vampire hunter Miroslav Milosevic, no relation of the late dictator, drove a 3-foot stake through the dictator's heart. The dictator's daughter-in-law Milica Gajic accused the police of failing to protect the grave properly. Driving stakes through the hearts of assumed vampires has a long tradition of exorcism in Serbia. The vampire hunter said he acted to stop the dictator returning from the dead to haunt the country. Entering the Milosevic vault and driving a hawthorn stake through the grave was my duty carried out in the name of the Pozarevac resistance. I wanted to do it painlessly, without conflict with the people who would be at the grave on the day of the anniversary. After I drove the stake through the grave, I presented myself at the police station and made a statement to the chief. Gabriel Rone, vampire slayer impales Milosevic to stop return, Herald Scotland, March 10, 2007. In 2016, The Hague determined that Milosevic was not responsible for war crimes. The Exorcist is a 1973 American horror film directed by William Friedkin, adapted from a 1971 novel by William Peter Blatty. Inspired by the 1949 exorcism case of Roland Doe, the story deals with the demonic possession of a 12-year-old girl, Linda Blair, and her mother's desperate attempts to win back her daughter through an exorcism conducted by a Greek Orthodox priest, Jason Miller. Former Bosnian Serb politician Radovan Karadzic was detained in 2008 in the United Nations detention unit of Scevaninjan. In 2016, he was found guilty of genocide against Bosnian Muslims and Bosnian Croats during the siege of Sarajevo, and of ordering the Srebrenica massacre. While a fugitive, Karadzic had been masquerading as a New Age expert in alternative medicine using the fake name D.D. David. Karadzic gave lectures in front of hundreds of people on alternative medicine. He even had his own website, where he offered his assistance in the treatment of sexual problems and exorcism by using what he called human quantum energy. Trailing the mindset of Aleister Crowley, Karadzic used his site for the sale of amulets and advertised himself as an expert in shamanism, bioenergy, and macrobiotic diet. U.S. First Lady Melania, Navs, Trump was born in Slovenia. Macedonia is one of the successor states of the former Yugoslavia, from which it declared independence in 1991. It became a member of the UN in 1993 but, as a result of a dispute with Greece over its name, it was admitted under the provisional reference of the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, FYROM. Ancient Macedonia also comprised neighboring parts of northern Greece and a portion in Bulgaria. In 2017, U.S. Congressman Dana Rohrabacher said that Macedonia was not a country. The country's name derives from the Greek. In 356 BC, Philip II of Macedon absorbed the territories of Upper Macedonia, Link Estis and Pelagonia, and the southern part of Paeonia, Duriopis, into the Kingdom of Macedon. Philip's son Alexander the Great conquered the rest of the region, and incorporated it in his empire, reaching as far north as Skopje, but the city remained part of Dardania. Greek actor and rock singer Dimitris Polykakos mused, "Macedonia belongs to its animals. As millions of ethnic Greeks identify themselves as Macedonians, unrelated to the Slavic people who are associated with the Republic of Macedonia, Greece further objects to the use of the term Macedonian for the neighboring country's largest ethnic group. The Republic of Macedonia is accused of appropriating symbols and figures that are historically considered parts of Greece's culture, such as Virginia's son, a symbol associated with the ancient kingdom of Macedon, and Alexander the Great, and of promoting the irredentist concept of a united Macedonia, which would include territories of Greece, Bulgaria, Albania, and Serbia." Wikipedia.org. The gold larnax or royal box, left photo, found in a Macedonian tomb in 1977 fits the story of the lost Ark of the Covenant, with a star crown on its lid, Star of Jacob. Few ancient artifacts bear such a close resemblance to the lost Ark. Other legends say that the biblical Ark was brought to Ethiopia, and that a priest carries a replica of the Ark, right photo, during religious holidays. Notice the similarities of the star crown in both photos. The world's Mizrahi Jews recently raised a similar case. Sephardic Jews are often subdivided into Sephardim, from Spain and Portugal, and Mizrahim, from northern Africa and the Middle East. The Hebrew word Sepharad refers to Spain. The word Mizrahi comes from the Hebrew word for Eastern. There is much overlap between the Sephardim and Mizrahim. Mizrahim are Jews who never left the Middle East and North Africa since the beginnings of the Jewish people 4,000 years ago. Mizrahi Jews are the genetic offspring of the ancient Israelites. Ashkenazis, German Jews, in contrast, are not maternal descendants of the ancient Israelites. In the latest studies, only 8% of the Ashkenazi mitochondrial DNA shows signs of being from the Near East. About 80% of Ashkenazi maternal ancestry comes from Europe, not ancient Israel, as said by a recent study that suggests a mass conversion of women to Judaism may have occurred in Europe many centuries ago. Professor Martin Richards of the University of Huddersfield in England published the DNA study. "We have found that, in the vast majority of cases, Ashkenazi lineages are most closely related to Southern and Western European lineages and that these lineages have been present in Europe for many thousands of years. New information is discovered about the ancestry of Ashkenazi Jews," physical.org. October 8, 2013. In 2013, Israeli and American researchers studying inbred Ashkenazi pedigrees identified an elevated genetic risk factor for schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, manic depression. The researchers identified the defect in the gene, named NDST3, by studying more than 25,000 individuals. Judy Sigalitskavish, researchers find new risk factor for two psychiatric disorders in Ashkenazi genes, The Jerusalem Post, November 19, 2013. There is growing concern that Mizrahi Jews, the certain offspring of ancient Israel, are kept in trivial standing within society by Ashkenazi Jews, the descendants of Normans, Franks and continental Saxons. Mizrahim and Sephardic Jews cannot find good jobs in Israel these days and they are not very welcome into the universities. At times, having dark hair or bronze complexion does not turn out well in Israel's restricted white Zionist system. Some U.S. academics and consumers have chosen to implement boycott, divestment, and sanctions, BDS, against Israel. In April 2014, U.S. Secretary of State John F. Kerry warned that modern Israel risked becoming an apartheid state. In Israel, a little more than half of all Jews are Mizrahim, descended from Jews who have been in the land since ancient times or who were forced out of Arab countries after Israel was founded. Most of the rest are Ashkenazic, descended from Jews who came to the Holy Land, then controlled by the Ottoman Turks, instead of the United States in the late 1800s, or from Holocaust survivors, or from other immigrants who came at various times. About 1% of the Israeli population are the black Ethiopian Jews who fled during the brutal Ethiopian famine in the late 1980s and early 1990s. Historically, Sephardic Jews have been more integrated into the local non-Jewish culture than Ashkenazic Jews. In the Christian lands where Ashkenazic Judaism flourished, the tension between Christians and Jews was great, and Jews tended to be isolated from their non-Jewish neighbors, either voluntarily or involuntarily. In the Islamic lands where Sephardic Judaism developed, there was less segregation and oppression. Sephardic Jewish thought and culture was strongly influenced by Arabic and Greek philosophy and science. Tracy R. Rich, Ashkenazic and Sephardic Jews, Judaism 101, 1995-2011. A few historians had more dire words. They claimed that German Jews in Hitler's army were at fault for nearly entirely pushing out the Mizrahi Jews during World War II, and society was currently witnessing the glut of a Fourth Reich, Red House, page 430. Even though DNA was not discovered until after the war, Nazi eugenicists felt that the blue-eyed and blonde-haired Ashkenazim are of European progeny, not racial Jews. With IBM records, the Nazis sought to make a treaty with German Jews. If they renounced Judaism and welcomed the Aryan eugenicists, they could control key social hierarchies, swearing derivation to Nordic and Bavarian bloodlines. Tens of thousands of German Jews served in the Führer's army, see page 166. Some of them switched to Zionism. It seemed on the record that a Germanic first policy was directing Israel when it was revealed in February 2014 that Germany would represent Israel's diplomatic and consular relations in Islamic countries. Some commentators cautioned that apartheid was a facet of the Ashkenazification of a new Israeli power structure. Mizrahim and Sephardic Jews were returning to Spain to seek out improved opportunities. In June 2014, the Spanish government approved a draft law for descendants of Sephardic Jews expelled from the country in 1492 to seek Spanish nationality without giving up their current citizenship. Around 300,000 Jews lived in Spain before the Catholic monarchs Isabella and Ferdinand ordered Jews and Muslims to convert to the Catholic faith or leave the country. The law, which was first unveiled in February, potentially allows an estimated 3.5 million Sephardic Jews whose ancestors settled in countries such as Israel, France, the United States, Turkey, Mexico, Argentina, and Chile to apply for Spanish nationality. Spanish draft law allows dual nationality for Sephardic Jews, Reuters, June 6, 2014. Few countries in Europe lost a higher proportion of their Jewish population in the final solution than Greece. Possibly as many as 90% of Greek Jews were killed, although precise figures are difficult to find, since there are no exact details either of how many Jews were in Greece when the deportation started or of how many escaped or survived the camps. At the outbreak of the war, there were between 70,000 and 80,000 Jews in Greece, of whom over 50,000 lived in the city of Salonika. Fewer than 10,000 survived, and some of the oldest Jewish communities in Europe perished as a result. Mark Mazower, Inside Hitler's Greece, The Experience of Occupation, 1941-44, 1993.